Our world has scars. We can see the evidence of a world that has become only a distorted image of what it was intended. As the population increases, so do the numbers of people affected by disasters, both natural and self-inflicted. Earthquakes and floods and tornadoes abound. Lives are shaken apart as their homes are swept away. Years of work and saving gone in an instant. Killing is rampant, and often in the name of religion and hope and faith. People groups stand in fear of one another and lash out in self-protection or, worse, in aggression or power grabs. Wars are bound throughout the earth, whether it be between drug cartels in Mexico or over borders in Ukraine or between tribal groups in Africa or religious factions in the Middle East. Millions are displaced and hundreds of thousands have lost their lives in Syria as it's been decimated by a five-year conflict that only seems to get worse with peace talks. Homelessness and homeless and desperate millions have made their way from the Middle East and Africa towards a land of that they hope would bring peace, only to be rejected and halted along cold, muddy borders. Their resources spent on enticing promises made by human smugglers. As if that wasn't enough, millions of children and young women are being trafficked and sold into industries that exploit them. Parents are left to gamble the lives of their children on the hopes that maybe the stories that they hear of their children having better lives in the hospitality industry or cleaning business, that maybe this will better their lives, but they send away their innocent children unaware that it was all a horrible lie. And so it goes, exploitation, degradation, raping, killing, abuse, and oppression. Sadly, this is not all new, though it is increasing. And as the networks and systems become more innovative and devious. Oh Lord, we are grieving by what is happening all around us. And yet we are complicit often in our own ignorance, unaware that our lifestyle, our economy, even is a part of the sinful and selfish systems that preys on the vulnerable and feeds on the wealthy, of which we are a part of. Lord, your creation is suffering and calling out loud with those who are oppressed around the world. We long for the day when you will restore this world to the way you intended, that justice will be done, that your kingdom would come, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
The great 20th century Catholic scholar and theologian Henry Nouwen comments, "Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into the places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, and powerless with the powerless. Compassion means full immersion in the condition of being human. Nouwen's own journey led him from the halls of Harvard and Yale to a community of developmentally disabled people in Ontario. There, he spent his last 10 years sharing in their life and ministering to their pain. We are a community of people that are broken. Broken by sin, by our own selfishness, by our disordered desires. A community nonetheless in which Christ dwells. By His Spirit, He is here, bringing redemption and healing through each of us. We are called not just to be a community, but a body of which we are all part. Scripture speaks of our connectedness and dependence on one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 to 27. But God has put the body together so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This morning, we acknowledge suffering in our midst. Widowers mourning the loss of their best friend. Parents hurting as they watch their children make bad decisions. Sons and daughters dealing with their own parents aging and with the onset of devastating degenerative conditions such as Alzheimer's, arthritis, and cancer. The randomness of tragedy and sickness is never far away. Relationships are strained, and families have been fractured. Deep pain comes to all of us at some point. Today, we recognize that pain. It's present with us. We stand with each other as family, as a body. We mourn together. We bear each other's burdens in the Spirit of Jesus. Together, we look to our healer, who on that first Good Friday was fatally wounded for us. Jesus is more than familiar with suffering and sickness, brokenness and betrayal. He is that man of sorrows, and he was so acquainted with grief. Jesus knew nothing but loneliness when he experienced the rejection of his own Father, calling out with such finality, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" His anguish was such that he sweated blood. He suffered so that when we walk through a dark time, a valley of death, we could be sure of his presence with us so that we will be comforted. Let us pray this morning for those in this body who know the acuity of pain. Let us claim the promise that they would know his closeness, his comfort. Let us pray that we would faithfully walk with each other as a compassionate community, bringing each other to the feet of our suffering Savior. We will remain silent as we pray for one another now.
Loss, personal and profound. A childhood friend moves away, a child miscarried or stillborn, the proverbial pink slip presented on a sunny Friday afternoon. To varying degrees, we have all experienced loss of some sort. At some point in our lives, something dark and heavy has overtaken us. In an effort to understand, we search for answers. We look for a comforting explanation. We try to package it nicely with theology and wrap it nicely with a bow. Well-meaning sentiments come to mind. God is sovereign. God doesn't give us more than we can bear. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And while there's absolute truth to each of these statements, because they are from Scripture, at the time it feels that they minimize our grief, and we despair even more deeply as we try to understand why God would allow such tragedy. We weep for our unfulfilled dreams, unrealized aspirations, a bucket list that remains uncompleted. It's just over 5 years ago since my husband Florian died. I remember that moment well when I walked away from the hospital bed, sinking into a chair, taking my head in my hands, despairing. I did not know how I would carry on. There isn't a day that I don't miss him and all that he meant to me. He was my biggest cheerleader. He was my soulmate, my confidant, my life partner. In so many ways, he completed me. Tears still come at the most unexpected moments. I cry to God when the night is darkest and the world around me has quietened its voice. Dark, alone, so very alone. Not even sure if God is with me in the darkness. I cry out to him, but there's no answer. Not only do I feel alone, I feel abandoned. Where is God now? Where is he when I need him the most? Has he forsaken me too? And so I come to the cross, and I hear Jesus also cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There, I fall to the ground and weep for all that I loved and have lost. Together with Jesus, I descend into the depths of my grief and open my wounds to him. There, he draws me to himself. I surrender my grief and sorrow to him. I surrender my unfulfilled dreams, my unrealized aspirations, and the bucket list that will never see completion. There, I begin to understand that he is asking me to trust him. I do not know why this has happened to me. I quit my incessant search for answers. I surrender. And there in the darkness, he takes my hand and leads me forward. Step by step, he leads me into a new day, a new normal. What was once excruciating is perhaps somewhat less raw. And in time, this wound will heal a little more, leaving me with a scar. A scar that will always serve to remind me of the man who came into my life 35 years ago, a man who loved fiercely. This scar will tell the story of love lost. And so today, even as I have been remembering Florian, there are places where you also have gone, places of deep hurt and loss, places where your grief seems almost too much to bear. So come with me to the foot of the cross, to Jesus, who was no stranger to loss and grief. In these next moments, let's bring our burdens to Jesus.
So today we've been using the term scar and scars and wounds, and we're going to be using these words interchangeably, but yet they're two very different things. A wound is something that is open and is a gash that is still in process, I guess. It's something that is active in our lives. And a scar is a place of healing where there was once a wound. And sometimes where there still is a wound, but underneath. But we want to talk a bit about the scars that we have. We talked about the scars of the world and the scars that we see around us, the wounds that are around us. We've talked about our personal hurts, as Edith was just leading us through, and we think about those deep places in our lives where we've experienced wounding. But here's the thing, the scar, it tells a story, and I've often been, I'm not sure if you've been in these situations, but where you kind of share scar stories. Have you ever been in those situations where you begin to pull up your sleeve and to show these different ones. For me, the story always starts with a scar on my cheek that I got when I was a newborn and it scratched myself. And then it goes on to show a burn that's on my wrist that was from, you know, touching a pot when I was a toddler. And so then the story progresses. But there's some scars that I won't freely share that involve eyebrows and running into trucks and things like that. There are those scars that we're kind of ashamed of and we don't really reveal them too quickly. And so, while some scars, they conjure up these legendary stories of things that we've done and places we've been and heroic moves. And then there's other scars like, you know, almost fingers and things that we kind of hide because we're embarrassed about the decision that we made or the saw guard that we forgot to place in the right location. And the scars that we carry, I was thinking about my daughter, Annika. We were in Israel a few years ago, and she was bitten by a fish in the Sea of Galilee on her foot. And she bears the scar of a fish bite from the Sea of Galilee. That's cool. She also has like a lightning bolt scar that it's starting to fade now, but for the longest time she had a lightning bolt on her wrist that had come from a jellyfish bit that was floating in the water just off of Tel Aviv on the beach. That was quite a trip. It was an epic adventure that she could come back and tell these stories of these scars that she had from this journey. And yet, there are so many other scars in our lives that don't have that kind of fun attached to it. If anything, they speak to these deep wounds that have happened. Some scars that we have are self-inflicted. In other words, they've come as a result of our own bad choices or decision-making. But then there's also the other wounds that we've talked a bit about already this morning, and that is those wounds that come into our lives as a result of other people's decisions, other people's sin, things that have been done to us, and we carry those wounds so heavily and so deeply. And they have long-lasting consequences that sometimes carry with them bitterness and resentment, anger. The effects of sin and bad choices, as we've heard already this morning, are all around us. We see evidence of sin in our world. But scars were once wounds that have now healed is this theme that we're going to be talking about throughout the weekend. Sometimes they are simply cosmetic, a little fish bite. Other times they are deep wounds like broken hips that can leave people with a permanent limp. Just like Jacob, when he wrestled with God, he was left with this displaced hip that then was forever a limp in his life, but a sign that he could point back to and say, I met with God that day and I was forever changed. Isaiah 53, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was beaten so we could be whole. Another version says, by his stripes we are healed. The Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Our sin left us wounded, and we feel the effects of choices that we've made. For some of us, today we've been reminded of that heaviness, and it's a dark place. There's that sense of hopelessness and overwhelming pain that has entered into our lives. But then Jesus enters the story. God's Son, given as a gift to the world, with the promise that whoever believes in him will live eternally in the presence of God himself. Jesus, who is God, did not consider equality with God something that he had to hang on to or keep a hold of his divine privileges. But he gave it up willingly so that he could come to the earth and take the form of a humble servant, a man who willingly died a criminal's death on a cross. All this is so that we could have life and forgiveness. Our wounds have been healed, and now only scars remain. We can point to God's healing work in our lives. This doesn't mean that we don't suffer the consequences of sin here on earth. Marriages that have been torn apart by decisions we've made may never be reconciled. Children who have been hurt by our anger and have distanced themselves, they may never accept our apologies. I wish I could say that God will make it all better. I wish it was like repairing a hole in the drywall that you just simply mud over and no one knows that the fist went through it. What I do know is that God will bring healing. The scars may still be visible, but the wounds are no longer open sores. Sometimes that healing's slow and it's painful. But as you reflect back on your life, you see that what was once so devastating has become a story of God's sustaining grace. So today we reflect on the gift of God's Son. This gift has been offered to the whole world. Anyone who believes in Jesus and accepts him, he says he gives the right to become children of God. For if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. So as we prepare to take communion, we prepare to, in a sense, confess that Jesus is Lord and that he died for us. We remember his broken body, and we remember that by his wounds, we are made whole. We have scars, and today we remember that our King has wounds. We've been healed by his sacrifice. We often say that Good Friday is difficult for us because we want to jump to the happy ending. This is a very uncomfortable place for us to be in, this unsettled place of mourning and grieving and heaviness and loss. But it's important that we take time to ponder our condition. Our sin brought wounds into our lives, but Jesus offers us healing by his wounds. Scars remain, but they have become a testimony of God's grace at work in our lives. Now, I'm not sure if you're here this morning. You may feel like this all applies to everyone but you. Somehow this God thing works for others. When we talk about Jesus, it works for somebody else, but somehow it doesn't fully apply to you. I actually had that feeling this last week. I was going, why does it seem to work for everyone else, but in my own life, I just don't quite understand this forgiveness and grace thing. But somehow, God's forgiveness has been offered to the whole world, and it makes sense for everyone, including you. And I wonder if perhaps we've misunderstood what this healing of our scars and our wounds really means. I think that sometimes we think that it'll just be, you know, we can kiss it better and everything will be fine. It'll just be neatly wrapped up. And yet, as we heard from our readers this morning, that life doesn't work that way. There is still a limp. There is still an emptiness. But we ultimately know that Jesus is at work in our lives, offering us grace and mercy. So we pray, Lord, may you reveal yourself in those dark places in our lives where sin has taken hold. And may you touch us and bring healing by your mercy. May our scars point to your amazing grace.